10 out of 10 for subtlety. Written by Miss Winterhill and read by Eos Rose. Rain was tap-tapping against the windows when Merlin finally made his way into Arthur's chambers, kicking the door shut behind himself with an inelegant thud. Arthur looked up and then looked again. There was something not quite right about Merlin's face. Well, more than normally not quite right. "I don't want to know how you did that, do I?" Arthur asked as Merlin set out his supper, his lip split and his eye already darkening from a fresh blow. Trust Merlin to sully the last few nights of their stay with Lord Mortimer and his son by getting into some sort of fight. "One of Mortimer's servants," said Merlin, arranging little cakes. "He got grabby."
"So you let him?" Arthur asked.
"Nope," Merlin replied. "Hence the eye." "Did you get into a fist fight with Lord Mortimer's servant?" asked Arthur, offering Merlin an appraising look.
"Yep," said Merlin.
Arthur grinned. "Well done." Merlin nodded agreement. "He was hassling some of the kitchen hands, so I told him to pick on someone his own size."
"And that someone was you?"
"Well," said Merlin, "sort of. He was so rolling drunk that he landed a lucky punch on me and then stumbled off to bed. I doubt he'd have been able to get it up even if he'd managed to get the upper hand. Any injuries he got happened when he fell over and banged into a wall." Arthur frowned. "Nonetheless, I won't have someone else's servant bothering my manservant," he said with a sigh. "If you didn't deal with it, I'll have to in the morning."
"Oh, I dealt with it," said Merlin, with a little satisfied sigh. He looked wistfully at the pile of cakes.
"Are you going to eat all of those?"
"Is it my imagination, or are there more cakes than normal?" asked Arthur.
"Entirely your imagination," said Merlin, as Arthur put some of the ones with the honey in them onto a plate for Merlin, sliding them across the table. They were Merlin's favorite. Although Arthur didn't spoil his servant, he did think that there were rather a lot of cakes this time, and that the kitchen seemed to have caught on remarkably quickly as to Merlin's preferences in cake. He may as well give some to Merlin rather than let them go to waste. Merlin looked delighted at this turn of events.
"You're going to be ill if you bolt them," Arthur said, putting his feet up on Merlin's lap.
Merlin swallowed a mouthful of cake, which got stuck, leading to a few seconds of gasping before he took a mouthful from Arthur's goblet.
"See?"
"I hate you," said Merlin, but now that he wasn't choking, his hands were free to massage Arthur's feet. "I bring you cakes, and you give me feet."
"You, servant," said Arthur, taking his goblet back.
"Me, prince. That means you give me cake, and I get my feet rubbed."
"I'm injured," said Merlin.
"Good for you," Arthur replied. "Feet." Merlin continued grumbling as he rubbed the tension out of Arthur's feet.
"You wouldn't have sore feet if you didn't insist on those ridiculous boots."
"They're not ridiculous. They're practical in this beastly weather," Arthur said. "You're up here again tonight." Merlin sighed a put-upon sigh.
"Will I have to massage anything else?"
"Only if it pleases you to do so," said Arthur, rubbing his free foot against Merlin's thigh.
"I suppose," said Merlin with a sly grin, moving his hands up to Arthur's shin, sliding as high as he could up Arthur's leg without toppling forward. Arthur smiled, leaning to close the distance between them and then pressing his lips to Merlin's.
Merlin kissed back without hesitation, and Arthur felt the brush of movement as Merlin smiled against Arthur's mouth. Arthur let his fingers curl into the soft hair at the back of Merlin's neck, thumb gently rubbing out a knot of tension.
"Contrary," said Arthur.
"You like it," Merlin replied, so close that his lips tickled Arthur's as he spoke. Arthur smiled.
I do.
It was early when the door to Arthur's lavish guest chambers was thrown back dramatically. Arthur looked up from his breakfast, and Merlin looked up from where he was stealing bacon rind under the guise of polishing Arthur's best gauntlets at the table, to see Lord Mortimer the Younger standing in the doorway. Mortimer was all righteous fury, his brow furrowed, hands clenched into fists. "I demand to know what you let your servant do," he said imperiously. Arthur looked at Merlin, who had his mouth full of poached royal breakfast. Merlin swallowed a mouthful that was clearly overlarge, and surreptitiously tried to take Arthur's goblet.
"I imagine that I could be asking you much the same question," said Arthur, stretching. The young lord was only a little shy of Arthur's age, but he had yet to gain the grace that had settled upon Arthur after his 21st year. Despite this, he loomed over the breakfast table most impressively. Arthur was prepared to give him a solid 10 out of 10 for style, but he decided that he'd need to deduct points for subtlety.
"I went to get my Thomas this morning," said Mortimer, all but trembling with rage, "and I discovered that he is most grievously injured, so much so that he cannot serve me. You are guests in this house, Pendragon. I would thank you and your staff to remember that."
"So much so that he cannot serve you?" asked Arthur, raising an eyebrow at Merlin. Merlin had the good grace to look down, so that any moronic grins were hidden by the flop of his hair.
"He was full with wine and wassail when I last saw him, sire," said Merlin.
"Well, that makes sense, then," said Arthur.
"Wine and wassail do not break a man's wrist," said Mortimer.
"Did you break the man's wrist?" Arthur asked. Merlin shook his head, forehead still deferentially lowered to hide what Arthur was certain was a huge, stupid grin.
"I could look into it, though," he said. "I'm good at setting bones,
sire?"
"My servant is wounded," said Mortimer, his ire ill-contained. "Thomas, enter!" There was color bright on his cheekbones, the man who followed him into the room nursing a split lip and a sling. He was twice the size of Merlin, and a hangdog expression really didn't suit him.
"Merlin is barely tough enough to pose a problem to even the most pathetic of servants," said Arthur, as the servant caught his eye and went bright, bright red.
"I'm certain this large gentleman is perfectly capable of escaping Merlin's attentions, should he so desire. If it should transpire, however, that he was the one forcing himself upon Merlin..."
"He did give me a black eye," said Merlin, using that adorable tone which, when they were home, made everyone in the castle warn Arthur to keep an eye on poor, sweet Merlin.
"I was afeard, sire, but I did not say aught in case it might anger you."
Oh, thought Arthur, he'd finally got it, but he was in serious danger of crossing a line into a rather odd portrayal of what Merlin certainly thought was a stupid peasant. Arthur reached out and tipped Merlin's chin up, looking at his face. The black eye was really livid. Merlin must have had a headache from the blow. Arthur brushed Merlin's cheek with his thumb.
"Oh, Merlin," he said. Merlin leaned into the touch, and Arthur squeezed a little to make him jump.
"Ow!" said Merlin, scowling at Arthur.
"Clearly he fought my Thomas," said Mortimer, folding his arms.
"Clearly," said Arthur. "Pray, Merlin, what did you fight about?"
"Well," said Merlin, "I was minding my own business, getting your supper like you said I should, when Thomas suggested that I might like to share his bed."
"Who'd want to share a bed with you?" asked Arthur, with the arrogance of a man who had curled up in Merlin's embrace to sleep, and woken with his face pressed into the soft skin of Merlin's neck, their legs tangled together. "Only an insane man, sire," said Merlin, wide-eyed and innocent. "I'm a terrible snorer, to be true."
"He's the one who propositioned me," said Thomas.
"I hope your filthy little servant is not impugning the good nature of my man," said Mortimer.
"Strange," said Arthur. "I was under the impression that you came here this morning to impugn the good nature of my filthy little servant. Thomas, would you tell me why you fought, then?"
He...
Thomas searched for words.
"He was at me all night, tried to haul me behind a curtain at dinner time."
"Really?" said Arthur. "And here I was thinking he spent the evening accidentally dropping sweetmeats into my lap."
"That was an accident," said Merlin, dropping the character of mulish peasant and reverting to his own regular version of mulish peasant.
"Shut up, Merlin.
So, my terrifying manservant brutally tried to overpower you and deflower you of your virtue," said Arthur, looking at the unfortunate Thomas, and then at Merlin again.
"And you were unable to defend yourself, the dreaded Merlin leaving you bruised and bloody on the ground."
"Yes, Your Honor," said Thomas, looking at his feet.
"So did he, in the end, defile you?" asked Arthur. And he didn't dare look at Merlin, because if he looked at Merlin, then he'd laugh.
Said Thomas, his wide eyes clearly betraying that he'd not thought Arthur would ask such a direct question.
"No, sire."
Arthur turned to Merlin.
"Merlin," he said, "clearly one of you is lying. Had you each been trying to defile the other, then I imagine the night would have gone in an entirely different direction." Merlin hung his head.
"You don't believe me when I tell you that I was attacked, sire?"
Merlin, when he wanted to, could affect the very picture of downtrodden misery. Had Arthur not known that it was entirely an act, he'd have curled his fingers around Merlin's wrist and stroked soothingly along the line of his pulse, trying to calm his heartbeat. But he did, so he cuffed Merlin about the head instead.
"Well," said Arthur to the simmering young lord, "I suppose there's only one way to resolve this. We'll have to take it to your father."
It took 5 minutes to explain to the old Lord Mortimer that, yes, their honored guest Arthur Pendragon's servant had apparently had a dust-up with Mortimer's son's favorite, and that said son was now demanding satisfaction for the honor of his servant. From all appearances, Mortimer was a little despairing of his son's attachment to Thomas. This was apparently not the first time an incident such as this had occurred.
"There is only one way to resolve this," said the old lord, as Thomas hulked and the young lord simmered. "Merlin shall fight Thomas for 3 turns of the cook's smallest glass, and we shall see who is the aggressor."
Merlin, for all that he could fake like the finest actor, looked patently terrified at the thought of going up against Thomas, whose broken wrist seemed to have magically been cured by the pronouncement of the fight. Arthur nodded at Merlin. He'd be fine. He wasn't, for all that Arthur claimed he was, an idiot, and he knew how to dodge and how to kick a man in the shins.
"Pendragon's probably taught his servant how to fight," said the young lord. "It's suspicious, you know, keeping the boy in his rooms."
"I'm not a b—" Merlin began, but Arthur cut him off.
"I am not the one who burst into a visitor's room and disturbed his breakfast because my servant has a black eye," said Arthur, leaning back in his chair. "I may have used him for target practice once or twice. I'm sure he'll manage to dodge enough blows to stay upright."
Old Mortimer gave him a wary look that seemed to say,
I'll stop the fight when it looks like Thomas is going to kill the boy.
And nodded.
To the field, then, this afternoon,
said old Mortimer. His son started to speak, and he held up his hand.
I will have no more from you, Edgar. This afternoon, 3 glasses past the mid-season.
If it pleases your lord, I should prefer that it happen as soon as possible, said Arthur. That way there is no question that the men go into the fight with the skills that they displayed last night, when the supposed assault happened.
Flawless reasoning, said the elder lord. Very well, let us put this business behind us, as soon as the practice field can be readied.
Merlin, when Arthur got him alone, was practically twitching with panic.
I can't fight him, Merlin said. Not when he's sober. The man's a leviathan.
Merlin, said Arthur patiently, you said he had been drinking. The man is as hungover as any idiot I've ever seen. All you'll have to do is keep out of the way.
Arthur?
Merlin? Said Arthur, taking Merlin's face into both hands so that Merlin would look at him. All you have to do is keep out of the way. If he wins, then he condemns himself. If you win, then you condemn yourself. Merlin scowled. I don't see why you need to be so pleased about this, he said. Arthur laughed and then propelled him towards the door and down to the field. There'd been no time to raise stands, and, really, whose would they raise? Or anything official like that, but young Edgar was standing at his customary corner of the field on the still damp grass. Arthur clapped Merlin on the shoulder.
Just try not to fall over, he said, letting his hand linger a little.
It's Camelot's honor that's at stake here.
Certainly, sire, said Merlin, bowing low. Thomas had removed his sling, and he was a much better match for a knight, or indeed for Arthur himself, thick with muscle. Arthur wondered briefly why the young lord thought he needed to leap to the defense of his servant. Was it a sense of duty towards one's staff, or something more sinister? Arthur went to sit by his host as Merlin stood defiantly at his corner of the ground.
Ah, Arthur, said the old lord, as Arthur took his seat. Tell me, what would you do?
About? Asked Arthur.
My son,
said Mortimer, and Arthur looked to see the boy lean in close to the servant, whisper something.
It is not unusual for such relationships to form, but this seems to pass all sense. It was a simple spat between servants. It should have been left as it was last night.
Servants can be utterly faithless, said Arthur, as Merlin cast him a baleful glare. It may be best that he learns this lesson now, and not at some future time.
Yet you trust your man, said Mortimer.
With my life, said Arthur. I also trust that he is able to take care of himself. Another servant arrived, carrying the little hourglass from the kitchens. Arthur had seen one before in Camelot, before he grew up and was no longer allowed to snoop in the servants' quarters. 3 turns was the time it took to boil an egg. A fitting time for a battle between servants, he supposed. Mortimer stood.
3 turns you will fight, he said. I shall decide the outcome of the match and the penalty.
The young lord stayed at the edge of the field, watching edgily as the bell was struck and the 2 men circled one another. Arthur could see a problem with the match that he hadn't anticipated. The ground was damp and slippery from the previous night's rain. Disgustingly so. Thomas went to throw a punch, and Merlin ducked, darted away, almost stumbling when he hit a patch of mud. He turned, only to find Thomas bearing down on him again, all evidence of a hangover completely gone, and Merlin ran the other way, trying to stay out of the range of the man's impressive fists. He managed to get behind Thomas, But that was no good, because Thomas turned and roared his rage. Arthur could feel himself grinning as Mortimer turned the hourglass. He'd known that Merlin would survive the first part of the fight on his wits, and if he could keep upright for the rest, then he'd be fine. Thomas tried to grab Merlin, and Merlin danced out of the way, his right foot hitting a slippery patch, and then, to the delight of the crowd, he fell over and into the mud. Merlin was trying to get up, as Thomas walked up to him, the upper hand firmly his, but the more he tried, the more the sticky mud stopped him. Merlin skidded on the slippery ground, trying to gain purchase and failing. Arthur tensed, heart racing. "Get up, Merlin!" And Merlin failed to make it to his feet again as the crowd catcalled and cheered. Thomas was looming over Merlin, raising his boot to stamp on Merlin's hand as he scrabbled at the wet grass, and then suddenly Merlin rolled, kicked, and Thomas was on the ground. Arthur hissed satisfaction. Leveling the playing field, a good move tactically, and it clearly pleased the servants, who had come down from the kitchens to watch the fight, to see the pair writhe in the mud like a pair of pigs. Merlin sat up, half getting to his feet, and Thomas grabbed his ankle, dragging him back down again. "Ow!" Merlin yelped, and Arthur leaned forward. "Merlin, stop being a delicate flower and kick him in the face!" he called. "I don't like kicking people in the face," Merlin yelled in reply. "That's a horrible thing to do." "Then just break his wrist again and we can be done with this. It clearly didn't stick last time," Arthur said, leaning back. There was a laugh from the kitchen staff, and Thomas snarled, pulling back to punch Merlin. Arthur stayed back in his chair, but his fingers gripped into the armrests tightly. If Thomas did get a decent punch in, if Merlin wasn't fast enough to dodge...
"Enough!" called the old lord. "I've seen enough."
Thomas still threw the punch, and Merlin dodged as the crowd gasped. Merlin used the distraction to roll free and get to a bit of the field that wasn't a mud bowl and pull himself to his feet. There was a smudge of mud on his cheek, and his clothes were ruined, but he was unharmed.
"Merlin, come here," said Mortimer.
Merlin came reluctantly and carefully across the field.
"Why did you fight with him in the first place?"
"He was..." Merlin looked at Arthur. Arthur nodded. "He was hassling some of the staff. I don't think he meant anything by it. He'd had a bit to drink, my lord. It all got a bit out of hand from there."
"It did,"
said Mortimer with a sigh. He stood.
"Merlin of Camelot, I pronounce you to be the victor in this disagreement. It is clear from your gentle spirit that you are not, indeed, the aggressor in this fight. Edgar, I will see you and your servant in my chambers."
There was a bit of a cheer from the kitchen staff as everyone else who'd gathered wandered off as the entertainment wound to a close. Arthur grinned at Merlin, proud, and Merlin beamed back, muddy but undefeated.
"If it pleases you, my lord, I will join you in the library in a short while," said Arthur, politely.
"That does please me," said Mortimer, but his eyes were on his son.
Arthur took the opportunity to leave. Merlin's boots squelched a bit as they made their way back up into the house, servants popping out from everywhere to give Merlin a series of silent, congratulatory gestures. Arthur wondered if something rather more important than a simple spat between servants had happened here today, but he banished the thought from his mind.
"Merlin of Camelot," said Merlin, as Arthur steered him back to the guest chambers. "Since when am I Merlin of Camelot?"
"Since you became my servant," said Arthur, fondly. "You'll have to have those clothes destroyed."
"Nah," said Merlin. "Once they're dry, the mud will brush off."
I am not having you looking and smelling like you've been rolling in a sty, said Arthur, opening the door to the chambers. A pleasant, sweet smell wafted from within. You'll get clean, and then you'll put on some dry clothes, and then you'll join me in the library to witness the signing of the agreement between Mortimer and Camelot.
I don't have any dry clothes, said Merlin grumpily.
Arthur looked at where Merlin had lain out his clothing, and pulled out something of his own for Merlin to wear. There, he said, setting the shirt and trousers out. Merlin didn't wear red often, and this shirt was bright, Pendragon red. Merlin of Camelot, indeed.
Happy?
Suppose, Merlin replied, tilting his head like he wanted a kiss, and Arthur grinned, kissing him.
You did well, he said, running his hand through Merlin's hair, looking then at the mud that had accumulated on his fingers through this simple act.
He scowled, wiping the mud off onto Merlin's dirty shirt. They'd feasted because it was Arthur's official last night in Mortimer's house, even though the amount of food and wine he'd consumed meant that he'd probably not leave until late the next day. Arthur was lazing in his chambers when Merlin breezed in, still wearing Arthur's second-best shirt, belted up because it was far too big for him.
"Word from the kitchens is that Thomas isn't sleeping in his lord's bedchamber tonight," said Merlin, in lieu of knocking.
Arthur looked up. He hadn't been exactly worried when Merlin had been late with his entirely unnecessary supper, but he hadn't been exactly happy, either.
"Knock," he said.
"No," said Merlin, putting the tray onto the table and then flopping down onto the bed. "My shoulder hurts because of your pissing contest with Mortimer."
"Bed belongs to me," said Arthur, stretching out on the large chair by the fire, watching the flames dance, making shapes in the dim light.
"Don't care," said Merlin, muffled by the pillows.
"I do," said Arthur, getting up. He checked the lock on the door before sitting on the bed beside Merlin.
"Take your shirt off."
"I do like it when you get commanding," said Merlin, rolling over to look up at Arthur.
Arthur sighed.
"Now."
Merlin sat up and struggled out of the red shirt, nearly defeated by the laces, and favoring his shoulder more than he should be. Arthur let Merlin lean on his shoulder a bit, checking Merlin over for bruises, broken ribs, obvious signs of serious injury. There was nothing that hadn't been there the day before. When Arthur ran his hand over Merlin's shoulders, the right one was tight, but nothing life-threatening. He must have hit the ground hard.
"Turn around," Arthur commanded, fumbling for the oil that he knew was beside the bed.
Merlin turned but looked back at Arthur over his uninjured shoulder.
"I'm really not," he began.
"Idiot, I'm going to work on your shoulder."
"Oh," said Merlin as Arthur uncorked the bottle.
"Right." "Don't squirm," Arthur ordered as he tipped a few drops onto Merlin's shoulder, admiring the way they clung, glistening to the skin for just a few seconds before he had to touch them, mess up that shiny perfection.
"Ow," said Merlin, as Arthur massaged the warm oil into his shoulder. He could feel the hard knot moving under his thumb, sliding back and forth over bone.
"Oh, oh, ow."
"Oh, stop it," said Arthur, leaning to kiss the sore muscle. "If we don't get the knot out, you'll be miserable in the morning, and I don't want my breakfast served by a glum servant. It's terribly discouraging. Sets a bad tone for the rest of the day."
"You don't have to hurt me while you do it," Merlin grumbled.
"Ungrateful," said Arthur.
"Cruel," Merlin replied as Arthur's thumb dug into the knot. He yelped, stiffened, and then flopped, letting Arthur work out the last of the tension.
"Oh, that's better."
"Good," said Arthur, unceremoniously heaving him off the bed.
Go and put my clothes away. Hang yours up, too. I don't want to wake up to a mess.
Merlin rotated his shoulders a few times, and, apparently happy that he had freedom of movement again, fumbled through Arthur's things, hanging them on the back of a chair for now. They would need a good wash when they got home, but were still clean enough for tomorrow.
Merlin hung his own on the other chair, turning back to Arthur.
Happy? He asked.
Very, said Arthur, holding out his hands. Come here.
Merlin moved back to the bed, letting Arthur settle his broad hands on the smooth skin of Merlin's hips, looking up at Merlin's face before pulling Merlin down and onto the bed.
You'll still have a black eye when we get back to Camelot, murmured Arthur, pressing a kiss to Merlin's cheek, high up near the corner of his eye.
I'll tell people you beat me, said Merlin, catching Arthur's mouth with his, a soft lick of tongue that tickled as Merlin pressed Arthur down onto the bed.
I'll tell them you're a tyrant, and terribly hard to please, and the only person who should be allowed to serve you is me, because my gentle spirit has already been broken.
You do talk a lot of rubbish, Merlin, said Arthur, rolling them over so that he could press Merlin into the bed. He pinned Merlin's wrists with his own, nipping at Merlin's neck.
Of course the only person who should have to put up with you is me.
Merlin huffed a happy sigh, tilting his head up to insistently kiss Arthur.
What did the old Lord Mortimer say to you tonight, when he dragged you off for a talk?
He said, Arthur replied, that I was the very exemplar of how a lord should treat his manservant.
Merlin managed to wriggle his wrists free and used his hands to pull Arthur's mouth to his own.
You're insufferable, said Merlin, punctuating with kisses.
You're insufferable, you great insufferable.
Enough, said Arthur. How can I be an exemplar if you won't shut up?
You're breaking my gentle spirit, Merlin replied, as cheerful as ever.
I don't think it's broken at all, Arthur replied, hooking his thumbs under the waistband of Merlin's undergarments.
In fact, I'd say it was quite healthy.
That's not my... Merlin began, but he trailed off quickly as Arthur nipped at his neck, cupping Merlin in the palm of his hand.
You're planning to exhaust me so that I don't complain all the way home.
Is it working?
I don't know, Merlin said. Maybe you'll have to try harder.
Idiot, said Arthur gently.
Tyrant, said Merlin, before sucking a bruise onto Arthur's collarbone to rival the one on Merlin's own eye.
You like it, though, said Arthur, and Merlin smiled.
Yeah, he said, soft and true. Yeah, I do.
The end.